Shalom Aleichem everyone, this is Shlomo Katz. You're listening to The Soul of Israel on thelandofisrael.com, on the Land of Israel Network. Today's show, very different. Every show is different, but every show has been recorded in Israel. Today we have a slightly different location, and we are sitting right now together, of course, with my soul brother and partner, Rabbi Ari Abramowitz. And we're sitting right now in a place that's a little bit, I don't know, not really like my backyard, not really a place that I go to for lunch. We're sitting in Ukraine right now.
Uman, to be specific.
Uman, that name, Uman. That name has changed the lives of thousands and thousands of people. Ari and I have been on a, what would you call this, a pilgrimage?
I don't know, a pilgrimage, a journey, a spiritual journey of sorts. I guess you could call that a pilgrimage.
that is what a pilgrimage is. We've been here for what seems like 3 months. We've been here for 48 hours, and we've been traveling throughout the Ukraine, and we began our visiting the gravesites of our holy Hasidic masters, the founders of the Hasidic movement, the Baal Shem Tov, as well as Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, followed by Rabbi Natan of Breslov, and the last stop of this trip is in here in Uman, by the gravesite of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, the leading figure of the Breslov Hasidic dynasty. But, you know, let's go back to the beginning. We began this trip in Babi Yar. Words can't describe the emotions that each of us felt praying the new month Hallel's prayers in Babi Yar, right by the ravine that...
Well, I actually was on the later flight with seven other people,
that's
so
right.
I missed that.
That's right. There was a later flight with seven other people, and then the rest of us, that's 41 of us, we went to the pray Hallel, the new month prayer, right there in Babi Yar. Those of you, you could Google what Babi Yar is. It's a horrific, horrific place in the Jewish history, where thousands of Jews were slaughtered. It's been a common theme in a lot of these places where we've been spending time here in the Ukraine. Every 2 seconds, it's, oh, here, thousands of Jews were slaughtered. Actually, where we're sitting right now, about 10 feet from us, is a mass grave where over 30,000 Jews were slaughtered here, right over here, right in front of us.
I didn't know that until this very moment.
Oh, really? Yeah, Rabbi Nachman's buried right amongst the graves. It was his request to be buried amongst the, you say in Hebrew, Kever Achim.
Right, I knew that this is where Rabbi Nachman was buried. I didn't know that that was the site, but it's safe to say. I feel like when I'm walking around this entire place, it's one mass grave.
It's one mass grave, which is such a dichotomy because you're amongst a sense of death, while at the same time, when connecting to the soul of a tzaddik, you feel utmost life. It's really, really incredible. But let's just try to bring our listeners a little bit more in tune with why we're
just before we do that, I just have a question for you, because who you are as a person really exemplifies that tension as a Kohen.
Correct.
And I keep wondering how you're able to navigate this, just being in this entire place, because for our listeners that don't know, a Kohen is a descendant from Aaron, the high priest, and they need to... Could you explain why it is that a Kohen stays away from...
Yeah, well, that could be a whole nother show.
But just in two sentences, so they understand this tension. And
the
then
priests,
I'll
the priests were designated to lead the holy service in the holy temple. And when one comes in contact with death, there's a halachic status of becoming contaminated by the impurity of death, which would thus then not allow the Kohen to serve. So, in a certain sense, it's a very intense way of living that we have for 2,000 years. I'm kind of in this waiting mode that it can happen any second. I could be called up to serve in the Holy Temple any second. So you can't go to that place that would refrain you from having the privilege of serving in the Holy Temple. Why that is already much deeper, and we'll get there. But to answer your question, I've done this trip many times, so I've learned my way around here more or less, and I know where I can go and where I can't go. However, it does... my experience of this trip is a little bit different than yours because I haven't been able to go into the rooms where these graves are and pray on the grave, right by the grave, and get a sense of just, I don't know, maybe a bit more closeness to a certain physical feeling. But
Sometimes I feel like you're like among the precious jewels of the Jewish people that we just have to shield and protect. Not just you personally, well, that's true, but the Kohanim. We have to like shield and protect
Absolutely.
You in order to, okay.
Absolutely. Now, this, well, I do feel like you protect me all the time. You know, this show is called The Soul of Israel. And I was debating, like, should we really record here or not? And Hashem, Yisbarach, in his wondrous ways, shows us that man plans and God laughs, right? Because we could plan whatever we want, and Hashem says, okay, that's nice that you plan, but let me give it to you where I need you to be, right? So this show is called The Soul of Israel, and we're here in Uman because for some reason, the Ribono Shel Olam wanted you and I, Ari, to have our hearts crack open before the month of, before the new year. This is what we're doing here. Where this pilgrimage that we took was not just to connect to Jewish heritage and Jewish history, but rather it was truly so that we could crack open our hearts of stone, which will explain what we're doing here right now. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, his teachings in his magnum opus, Likutei Maharan, is a book filled with hundreds and hundreds of teachings, the deepest of the deepest teachings, which essentially lead a Jew to discover the fact that he does have a soul, and perhaps it's sealed. And whenever I come here, and whenever I let myself cry to Hashem in the presence of the gravesite of such a holy master, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, I remind myself that it's possible to wake up. The soul of Israel, on a certain level, is kind of schluffing, asleep. And we talk about this every single show. And as much as we need to, you know, awaken ourselves militarily and economically and socially, which is a must, and hopefully that's working, spiritually speaking, I know that the network, Harriet, has a lot of different shows. I know our show is mainly the more spiritual side of things. The spiritual side of Am Yisrael needs such a great, a krechts, a waking up. In one of his most deepest teachings, Rabbi Nachman explains that the power of giving that krechts, that kvetch, is one of the most fundamental principles in establishing a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not the words. It's not knowing exactly what you're feeling or what you're saying. But you know one thing. I feel like I need to kvetch. I feel like I need to scream. That's called an anacha, a scream, a kvetch. But Rabbi Nachman teaches that what you need to do in order to kvetch, you need to realize, you need to have recognition that you don't really have a lot inside of you. You need more. And you need to be reminded that there's much more beneath the layers that you have to work on. So when I'm here, I have all these feelings and thoughts, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to learn that, I'm going to say that, I'm going to think about that person. But at a certain point during the trip, all I want to do is, oi! Oi! Just scream that out. And all my tefillas, all my prayers are included in that oy. And we're here with 41 people. I've been seeing a lot of different people give a krechts, give that little kvetch at a certain point, whether it was dipping themselves in a freezing, ice-cold, bone-chilling mikvah.
Hypothermia.
Like I saw you yesterday do. By the kever, near the area where the Baal Shem Tov is buried. Or like I've seen it just walking in around Babi Yar in that forest, not even knowing how to approach my Judaism after seeing such a horrific, being in the presence of such a horrific, horrific, horrific situation. But that kvetch is what Rabbi Nachman says will wake you up. That will wake you up. And I don't know if you've experienced it yet this trip, or, you know, we still have a few more hours here. Sometimes that krecht, that kvetch, only comes a few weeks later, not while you're here. Something happens here that you can't really explain in words. I know there are many people that have a lot of issues with us coming back here. I just want to make a point to our listeners. We're not here to aid Ukrainians' economy. This is not what we're doing here at all. We're trying to spend as least money as possible while we're here. People here are not exactly that Hamish and friendly. We don't feel like people are coming to us with flowers in the streets or with hugs. Thank you so much for gracing our presence. We're here to do something very fundamental for our Avodat Hashem, our service of God. Hitkashrut latzadikim, connecting ourselves to the souls of the righteous tzadikim who have paved the way for you and I to find our way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem.
Just to clarify, just for me, just being with you for 2.5 days made it worth it. I'm being honest, but that aside, coming here, and it's a, if I just open my heart up to a different dimension of connection than I'm used to, it was a very powerful and profound experience. And I actually felt when you said it sometimes comes 2 weeks later, that there's some sort of dormant kinetic energy that is yet to be released that I'm getting here on this trip, that I really appreciated you saying that, because I feel that. And also
good.
Here in and of itself, I'm feeling a very powerful, profound experience. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to come. I don't regret it. I think it's wonderful.
Right. No, I'm happy to hear. I came here first time about 16 years ago. I actually stayed in a building that we're sitting right across of. And I've been here about 7-8 times. One of the most profound moments I had here was eight years ago, almost to the day. I came here for a Shabbos with my dear friend Rabbi Roz Hartman, just the two of us, and it was just to connect to ourselves in the presence of the burial site of the Tzaddik Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And maybe we should do a whole other show. We have a lot of ideas, but not only show, just understanding the depth of being in the presence of the gravesite of a Tzaddik, of a holy righteous man, but not for now. But I came here and I had a lot of questions. Oh my God, did I have a lot of questions. And the main one was I was dating a very, very, very beautiful woman. And my wife won't be jealous by hearing this because I'm referring to her. And we were already dating for a few months, and I knew I had to go to that place of saying, okay, you know, now it's time for the next level. But my soul was feeling that I needed to connect more to myself. I needed to be more one with me. I needed to peel off more layers, which I still do. Till today, I was davening about that last night. There are more and more layers that I still want to peel off of myself. And I came here and I davened for a few days, and I came back home. My mom asked me, she said, Shlomo, do you feel like your prayers were answered? I said to my mother, I said, I'll tell you the truth. I have no idea. I was barely able to even pray anything, meaning I wasn't able to articulate that which I thought I was coming here for. But one thing I do know for sure, I found something I wasn't even aware I was looking for.
Wow.
Now, I've seen that happen with so many people that come here. They've found something that they weren't even under the... They had no awareness to the fact that they were actually looking for something. What that is different by each and every person. But whatever it is, whatever it takes to wake up, I'm all for it.
At least you were able to drop your expectations enough to be open to finding something else. Sometimes we have so concretized
Correct.
In our mind what we're looking for that this other thing presenting itself and we don't even see it. I feel like that sometimes.
I feel like that a lot of times, and I actually told that to the people. I actually told that to our people that are on this trip, the 41 of us, to come here with zero expectations, which is a hard thing. It's tremendously hard, exactly like you had just said right now. But to come here with zero expectations, to be open to finding that which you didn't even know you were looking for, like we just said. We're here with, there are a lot of emotions here. There are a lot of things going on here. But one thing I definitely want to say around a program called The Soul of Israel, I cannot imagine finishing a trip like this and then not going home to Israel from here. And we have a few of our friends that are on this trip that are...
Miami, Chicago.
New York, yeah. I can't imagine not now taking all of this and going back home. So I just want to say thank you, Hashem, that not only because it's only a 2.5 hour, 3 hour flight, and my precious children are waiting for me at home, but it just seems to me that to take all this light, I need to put it in the vessel, and that vessel is Eretz Yisrael. And now, we're saying all of this on a very auspicious day as well. Today is the third day of the month of Elul. 81 years ago, one of the highest neshamas in the world took off to the higher worlds. Today's the Yahrzeit, the day we mourn the losing of the chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. Today's his Yahrzeit. Today's a very, very holy day. They say the day that a neshama, a soul of a tzaddik, departs, goes back up to its, is reunited with its creator in the higher worlds, is actually like a celebration. It might be painful for us, but for the soul, it's a tremendous reunion with its source. So why is it so special? And why is it special to talk about this here? I'll tell you the following story that I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. At a certain point, if you look at throughout Rabbi Cook's teachings, it's a different language, but the context is very, very, very much aligned with the core and soul of the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. And a lot of it, if you break down, just get through the Hebrew of Rav Cook, and you just bring it more into what is he really saying, it's Mamish Rabbi Nachman. Well, one of his students had the chutzpah to say to him, Rav Cook, why don't you just quote Rabbi Nachman through what you're saying? Because everything he's saying is found in his teachings. The story is like this. Rav Cook took a moment. He went to his window. He looked out. And he turned back to this Talmud. And he said to him in Yiddish, Ich bin Rabbi Nachman, which means, I am Rabbi Nachman. I know that's a story that's very hard for both Breslovers and what we call cooknicks to swallow and digest, because we want to keep everyone separate and their own labels and say, no, that's that and that's that.
People can get territorial sometimes.
Oh, yeah, come on. This is invading borders. What are you doing right now?
It's like Michael Jordan saying, I am a Nick. Or a Laker, you know?
Right. It's exactly like that. I love you, Ari. But yeah, Lehavdil, it is like that. So it's almost like Ari saying, I'm Jeremy. That's more like it, right?
Someone called me Ari Gimpel here.
Oh, okay. Oh.
That was a new one.
Jeremy Abramowitz and Ari Gimpel. So what does that mean? Ich bin Rabbi Nachman, I am Rabbi Nachman. You know, there's something called Ibur Neshamot, where the souls actually hit abru. That means to become an ubar is a fetus. So how would you say that in English? I'm not even sure. Hit abruta neshamot. It's a very deep
concept. The only word I have would not be a good word. So it's almost like just an implantation. It's like,
right. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine for now. So Rav Cook and Rav Cook's whole world, all his svarim are called Orot. Orot HaTshuva, Orot HaTorah, Orot HaTchiyah. Lights, lights, lights. We're in a cemetery. We're by a mass grave. There's been death and bloodshed here for years and years and years. But for the last probably 30 years or so, since the gates of communist Russia have been reopened again, this place has provided so much light in people's life. Because the ability to realize that it's possible to talk to Hashem, and that Hashem listens to me, and that my being a Jew matters in the world, it's a tremendous beacon of light in this world, which is what Rav Cook and Rav Nachman were both really sharing with us their whole lives. And you know, Rav Nachman passed away at the age of 38 from tuberculosis. Rav Cook passed away 81 years ago. Didn't have the most simple life either. But the Gemara says, Tzadikim b'mitasam kruim chaim. That a tzaddik, in their life, they're alive, but they're much more alive after they're physically alive than they were when they were in a physical presence. And it's not something we have to speculate and wonder, is that true or not? It's something we feel.
Right. It's the reason when we're quoting the Tzaddikim, we don't say Rashi said. We say Rashi says. Because he's alive through his teachings. And the more those are proliferating around the world, then that's why it feels like Rabbi Nachman, whether or not I understand it, which I don't, but I can know what I'm like, be humbled to a greater wisdom. He is more alive now at this moment in history than ever before.
Than ever just before.
40,000 Jews come here. We're walking down the streets of Uman in the Ukraine, and how many makolets are there that are like, is a Hebrew?
We got to get a visual. You got to get some footage?
I'm going to get some footage and
crazy.
I'll put it up.
Oh, it's nuts here. There's a shawarma joint on the corner of our street here called Lev Basar, which means heart of flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, right here. It's wild. It's surreal. The guys that are with us on the trip, I've seen this many times, but it must be surreal that you're traveling for hours here in this very, forgive me, friends, a very non-attractive country. I don't know if you found the scenery here.
Agreed.
Very non-attractive country. And then suddenly you come here to Uman, and there are all these hotels here in Hebrew. And Makolets, and it's very...
It feels Twilight Zone-y. A few times last night, I was like, am I dreaming right now? I don't have that feeling often where I legitimately am wondering whether I'm dreaming and I'm just going to wake up.
Right.
That's how weird this place is to me. Yeah.
You had that last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is surreal. You're walking down the street and seeing a shawarma, hearing, you know, Nachman, Rabbi Nachman, Nigunim,
being protected by Ukrainian soldiers, and it's just like the whole thing.
It's very bizarre. What I'm so happy about, though, is that with our group that we came with, is that I was so nervous that we would get stuck here in our minds and wondering, oh, is this right or is this wrong? Should we be coming here? Should we not be coming here? Is Breslov the right way? Is it not the right way? But thank God we came here with a different mission. We came here to wake up. And the tzaddikim's Torahs wake us up. That's it. And the soul of Israel, it says that the tzaddikim, ustchuas tzaddikim ma'uzam ma'ez Hashem, that the tzaddik's simcha, the simcha the tzaddikim bring to the Ribono Shleinam, is when we see that people walking around here thousands of years, hundreds of years after these tzaddikim have left the world, and yet they're getting some sense of a Jewish emesdika neshama pride, which I think we need to be proud again. We were talking about this over the trip, is that the collective soul of Am Yisrael needs to find a humble kingdom again. We need to find Malchut again, but in a humble way. And it's not about walking around here in Uman proud. It's about walking in Yerushalayim with our heads up high. It's about walking in Efrat with our heads up high. It's about walking around in Tel Aviv and in Beit Shemesh and in Be'er Sheva. All the places, every inch of the Holy Land, with the sense of, I'm not sure how precious it is to be a Yid, to be a Jew, but I know that I am and I'm awake. For me, that's the greatest gift I feel like we got from this trip. We've been spending the evenings here pouring out our hearts with each other, singing for hours, dancing, but also sharing what's going on in our hearts. And I'm so thankful and grateful, and I'm so happy that you chose to actually join us. If you could please share the email you sent me, explaining to me why you want to come to it on this trip.
Right, it was 100% because of you.
That's not why I asked you.
That's the truth. But I wrote to you. You said the trip was full, and I said the future of the Jewish people depends on me making this trip, because I said, how else are they going to open the bus if I don't lay it on that thick?
Friends, listeners, I want you to know that that actually did change the whole trip. We had to change a bus. We had to get a bigger bus. But then it opened the gates for many others to join the trip as well.
Right. And the truth is that I do believe that me coming on this trip does change the future of the Jewish people. But same thing with those 11 guys. No more, no less.
Absolutely.
Meaning like every single spiritual closeness and proximity and elevation and experience that happens to any one of us changes the entire trajectory of Jewish fate.
Absolutely. No doubt. Especially now in the month of Elul that we have these words, fate, destiny, journey. Very much in the core of our.
It's so profound to be a Jew. It's like
it's so profound.
Yeah,
we don't even realize how profound it really is. That's the humbling part of it. Baruch Hashem. Well, I can say, chaver, all our listeners around the world, it's been another week where Ari and I, have been, thank God, bombarded with so many emails. I got another one last night. I forwarded to you, Ari. I think you saw it. The most beautiful expressions of the soul of all our Jewish and non-Jewish brothers and sisters all over the world that are longing for tomorrow in the most passionate way. Reb Shlomo Krabach once quoted Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, who was sitting right next to me. I wanted to end with a bracha to our listeners. And this is the most important thing I wanted to share from the beginning of our program today. Reb Shlomo Krabach was once giving a concert, and he said to the crowd, I want all the youth to get up and dance. So four kids with under the age of 7 got up and started dancing. He said, friends, I said I want all the youth to get up and dance. He said, do you know what the youth is? The youth is anyone who believes that tomorrow could be a more beautiful day. Because Reb Nachman teaches that it is absolutely forbidden to become old. It's forbidden to become old. What's old? Old is tomorrow will be just like today. Young is tomorrow can be more beautiful. So I give us all a bracha to connect to the power, the what we say in Hebrew, dveikut. What would you say?
Dveikut? Cleaving.
The cleaving towards the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closeness to God, closeness to the soul of Am Yisrael, which is young in its essence and in its core. It's young.
Just one thing, yeah, on Chaim Kramer last night. He's the head of the Breslov Research Institute. He, I think, is a historical, almost biblical figure as far as the proliferation of these teachings throughout the world.
Without a doubt.
And he shared a story that really just like stuck with me about playing hopscotch. This is like a great sage of Israel with a long white beard, and he looks like a rabbi, you know. And he is, I mean, he's a great rabbi, but there's these children that were playing hopscotch, and he got there, and he just hopscotched through their little hopscotch maze, and they all burst out laughing, and he laughed, and he said, "Why not? This is what, like, what I heard from that is exactly what you said. Never to lose our youth.
Never.
Our hope, our looking at the world through a prism of Hashem put us here to have fun, to be happy.
Absolutely. So I give us all that bracha that Ari just said. Find that hopscotch game, jump through it, and remember that the greatest mitzvah in the world is to always be happy.
Amen. Amen. Shalom from Uman.
The objective of Mizrahi is the total revival of our nation in all its aspects. To revive the land for the nation, to revive Judaism in our hearts, and to revive our hearts for Judaism. The Land of Israel Network brought to you by Mizrahi Olami. That's the Mizrahi World Movement.
Have you ever planted a grapevine? What if the grapevine happened to be in the Land of Israel? Not only that, but if you were a Christian planting this grapevine in the mountains of Israel, you would be fulfilling prophecy that Isaiah and Jeremiah foretold more than 3,000 years ago. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to fulfill prophecy on the mountains of Israel by joining us this harvest. Go to Hayuvel.com, that's Hayovel.com, to find out how you can become a vine dresser.